Good morning. Always a pleasure to be able to greet you guys from the pulpit. I love you all. I love seeing your faces. I love being here with you. I love being able to preach the Word of God. And I can say that sincerely. There have, early on, whenever God called me into the ministry, it was intimidating. It is still intimidating, but there are some things that God has done in my heart over the last 12 years to help me understand that it's really mostly about me just getting out of the way. It's mostly about me, as long as I'm faithful to study His Word, as long as I'm faithful to divide His Word rightly, and as long as I'm faithful to continually seek His face on what it is that He has for His people, there's not much me behind here. If there's anything of me behind here, it's mostly me messing up and bumbling over words. It is a work that He does in the heart of a preacher for His people. And that's something that is an encouragement to me. So it's a little less intimidating for me to stand back here and more encouraging for me to stand back here because I know what it is that God's desire is for the body of Christ. I just get to be privy to what He's doing beforehand because He gives me the message. So I get to see it first and then show you guys what it is that He's shown me. And so I'm grateful for another opportunity this morning to do that. We're going to be in a couple places this morning. Like I said in our introductory text, that is going to be one of the portions of Scripture where we're at this morning. The second is going to be in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. It is not a peculiar thing to me whenever there are brethren that are in the same places. There are brethren that whenever we go to have discussions over Scripture, we start talking about, oh, well, the Lord had me there, or the Lord started dealing with my heart in this area. It's not peculiar to me. Because what do we see in the Psalms? That it's brethren dwelling in unity. And it's exactly the way the body of Christ should be. The brethren should be dwelling in unity. So whenever God is dealing with the heart of the believer in a local body, there is a reason why it's normally uniform. And it's because He gives men positions within the body of Christ. He gives us teachers and evangelists and preachers to move the needle for the church. That's the desire of God always, is that the believer would be sanctified, would be more holy, that he would continue to move forward in his Christian walk, her Christian walk. So He gives men and women the responsibility of helping to encourage His body. So it's an encouragement to me whenever I know that there are also brothers that have been in the same spot. So 2 Timothy 2 has actually been where God has had me for a little over a month now. I preached one of the verses that God had me for some time, still does, which is verse number 10. But this morning, we're going to be verses 3 and 4. So 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I have attempted to be a little better on highlighting, outlining, giving titles, those things, and I understand that there are many note takers in our congregation. I have never been an English major. You can ask my wife. There aren't outlines, there aren't those things whenever God starts to give me a message, but for the sake of those that are taking notes this morning, our springboard scripture is going to be there in 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, and then we'll be back over in Luke where we started this morning. But if you want a title for the message this morning, the title is going to be From Reveille to War Cry. from reveille to war cry. If any of you have ever been in the military, if any of you have studied any history about the military, you understand those two words, reveille and war cry. Reveille was a bugle sound during what? Training. During training, to do what? It's to wake up the soldier. To wake up those that are sleeping. So from reveille to war cry, that war cry is a commander that gives a shout to his soldiers to encourage them to battle. So this morning, the title of the message is Reveille to War Cry. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." That is Paul to his beloved son Timothy, as Paul is now imprisoned, facing his imminent death. In Luke 21:34, Jesus is talking to the people there in Jerusalem. They have waved him in with palm leaves, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And he has faced the people, and he is starting to realize, he's starting to now get the backlash from the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. And they're starting to try to entrap him in conversation, trying to get him to a place to where they can then take his blasphemy to the governor for his persecution. And Jesus, he warns and admonishes that group of people there that are listening to him to take heed to yourselves, lest at any times your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. If you were here on Wednesday night, please don't check out. We touched a little bit on this because of the weight of the things of this world, the things that are taking place here that you and I face every single day. The fact that our world and our country alone is in a place of shambles. Being honest with you, Brother Jonathan, I almost didn't have you put the mic on me this morning. Because in all honesty, it is war. Beloved, we're not in a time of peace. This isn't peacetime for the Christian. It never has been. But I want you to understand something. This is not a time of peace. We're not on vacation. We're not just playing church. But the Bible says, Paul says, he encourages his son in the faith that he is a soldier. It's a war. Souls are at stake. Eternity is at stake. And the commander of heaven, who is Jesus Christ, has enlisted you and I into his army. Do you understand this morning that you're a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ? You have been called into his army. You're no longer a civilian of this world, but you're a soldier of Christ. So we don't do things civilians do. This is your reveille. This is your wake up, to awake out of sleep, for the time is at hand. But hear me, a soldier can't fight if he's entangled. And a Christian can't be ready if his heart is weighted down. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, he said, don't get entangled in the things of this life. Jesus, he admonishes the people not to get overcharged and to take heed for themselves. And yet, as we look out upon the church, and I'm not just meaning Rochdale Baptist Church, I'm meaning the church in whole. Aren't we seeing it? That the church of Christ is being entangled with the things of this world. They're being overcharged with the affairs of this life. Their concern is no longer on things that are eternal, but the things that are temporal. And we're being distracted and pulled away from the one who has commanded you to be a soldier. You've gone back to the civilian life. You're no longer enlisted. Some of us are dishonorably discharged. Do you realize what your call is, dear Christian? We're so busy, we're so distracted, we're so weighed down with the world that many of us are asleep when we ought to be awake. We're entangled when we ought to be free, and we're heavy when we ought to be watchful. How can you watch and wait and look for His appearing when you're distracted by this life? 70 years. 70 years. Some of you 80. Some of you 90. Very few of us 100. There is going to be a day that you enter into eternity. No matter the age you are today, it's going to happen. Paul says that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. There's one goal of the soldier, and that is to please his commander. That's to please Christ. That's your call. It's to follow the one that leads. I'm grateful that I'm not the one that has to command, because I will fall short. There have been generals, there have been staff sergeants, there have been people that have led men into war, and because of emotion, because of their own pride, have led men to their destruction. Let me assure you one thing this morning. You have a commander that will fulfill His promise, a commander that knows the beginning from the end, and a commander, whenever He has called you to war, He will equip you for that war, and He will not lead you to destruction. He will lead you to glory. We don't serve a commander that's frail or weak. We don't serve a commander that has his own ambition. We don't serve a commander that wants rewards. We don't serve a commander that is desirous of us to fall for on his own accord. We serve a commander that sees you, that understands you, that loves you, that knows your frailty and your weakness, and yet he equips you to be bold, to proclaim the gospel. He equips you for everything that you're going to need for this life, because He knows that this life is fleeting. But He's given us a call, and He's armed us. In Galatians 1:10, it says, "For if I yet please men, I shall not be the servant of Christ." You can't live for the approval of men and the pleasure of Christ at the same time. You're going to fail. Understand why. If you're living to please men, men are going to sway your opinion. You're going to feel bold in your witness until somebody calls you out. Till somebody says, "Nope, that's not what I believe. Nope, you're wrong." Those believers that are weak in the faith, the moment they're told that they're wrong, or that "I believe this way," how easy is it for them to be swayed? We don't live to please men, but we live to be a servant of Christ. Hebrews 12:1 says, tells us to lay aside every weight and every sin that easily besets us. Some of you aren't defeated by sin, but you're defeated by the weight of this world. You're not drunk, but you're distracted. You're not living in wickedness, but you're entangled in worldliness. I imagine it this way, it's funny, but it's true, is that, and I wish Matthew Watson was here, because I could bounce things off of him. But I could imagine going to war. And before war, I have a very good mother. My mom would probably bake me some cookies. She'd probably send me with some notes and different things. My wife would send me with some brownies and probably some trinkets and pictures of our children. And I would shove that into my ruck bag. It would probably be the first thing that I have to pull out whenever I dig in that ruck bag. So whenever we're encamped for the day or the night, and I sit down to just get a feel for home, I need some of the comfort of home. So I dig at my bag and I pull out one of Chelsea's brownies and I'm reading through the note that Hudson's written me. And all of a sudden, boom! The enemy is upon us. And I'm digging through the ruck bag trying to find my knife and trying to find my gun and trying to find everything that I need to battle in war. But I have all these comforts. I have all the things of this life. I have all the distraction at the top of the bag that I can't even get to the things that I've been equipped with to battle. And I die. I'm overcharged. I can't defend myself. I can't go to war. Because everything else is in the way. See, the devil loves it when the Christian is entangled. When the Christian is weighed down. See, he doesn't have to get you to the bar. He just needs to keep you too busy to pray. He has to keep you too busy to read your Bible. He has to keep you too distracted to win a soul. He doesn't have to make you fall. He just has to keep you busy. You got to make that paycheck. You got to afford that lifestyle. You got to afford those shoes and that dress and this and that. You just got to be distracted. You don't have to fall into sin. You just have to be out of His will. Jesus said, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be overcharged." Overcharged means overloaded, burdened, weighed down. He names the dangers in three specific things. He says, let's go there before I get this scripture messed up. "And take heed to yourselves that at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." He mentions those three things: surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Surfeiting is living for pleasure. Don't we see that in our generation? That we care more about the pleasure, we care more about the comforts, we care more about the accommodations of this life, that we're overcharged by pleasure. Always chasing the next thrill, always feeding the flesh. Proverbs 21:17 says, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man." Drunkenness is a loss of control, a dulling of the senses. It isn't necessarily one that goes out and drinks till he's a drunk. It's meaning we literally lose control. We have no control over our desires, our wants, our flesh. We allow those things to entrap us, and it dulls the senses. It keeps us from being spiritually awake. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your enemy, he's like a roaring lion, seeking him whom he could devour. But many are numbed by entertainment. They're numbed by alcohol and drugs. They're numbed by sin. They're numbed by distraction. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Brothers and sisters, we know what our call is. We know what we're called to do and what we're supposed to be busy about. We don't have to be a drunkard. We don't have to be an addict to anything. We just have to be distracted. The cares of this life are the worries and anxieties and the grind of everyday life. Matthew 13:22 says, "The cares of this world," speaking about the seed that falls within the thorns, "the cares of this world, they creep up and they choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Guys, if we're in the Word of God, and the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart. You know exactly where we are. See, Jesus, he didn't have to give those people whenever they asked about the times. He didn't have to give them a definite answer. All he had to do was tell the farmers, look at the fig tree. Because why? Chelsea's father's a farmer, and there's a time where we can go out and instantaneously he knows, hey, that field's ready for harvest. Because there's signs. There's things that he can see with the eye. That it's ready. That's what Jesus was telling the people that were there. He says, look at the fig tree. The farmer is going to know whenever it's ready for harvest. You don't need to know a time and day specifically. All you need to know are the signs. Jesus is warning us. If you let your heart grow heavy with things, his return will come like a trap. It's going to come suddenly and unexpectedly, and many will not be ready. So what's our duty? The Christian's duty is to please Christ and to watch for Christ. Guys, he doesn't make this very hard. His desire is for you to be pleasing and for you to watch. If you're doing those two things, there isn't room for distraction. There isn't room for comfort. Men did not go to war realizing, thinking that they were going to be comforted. Men went to war knowing that things were going to be hard. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Our duty is to live every day asking, does this please Jesus? I think it's very simple for us in the morning whenever we wake up, Lord, I want to be pleasing. And then set our affections on that all day long. It's really easy to make good decisions whenever your desire is to be pleasing to Jesus. It's really easy not to be weighed down by the things of this world whenever your desire is to be pleasing to Jesus. It's really easy not to snap back at somebody or to say the wrong thing or to have the wrong action or the wrong feeling whenever your desire is to be pleasing to Jesus. To please Him. Solely. You know how I love my wife? I want to be pleasing to Jesus. You know how I raise my children? I want to be pleasing to Jesus. You know how I serve my church? I want to be pleasing to Jesus. You know how I seek the lost? I want to be pleasing to Jesus. You know how I mortify the flesh? I want to be pleasing to Jesus. I want to be pleasing to my commander, the one who has called me as a soldier, the one who has called me to battle. And maybe because I'm a man and I have testosterone and I have all these things, this is something a little different than maybe women. Maybe women don't see this portion of Scripture like I see it. Because for me, I'm like, let's take up arms. Let's charge. And we were like, we'll stay home and encourage. And you guys are great at that. I'm just saying, maybe some of the vigor is a little different. We've been pretty fortunate, at least I have. There hasn't been a lot of war. There's been battles. There's been things take place. Whenever I was younger, we had Afghan, we had Iran, we had Iraq. We had those things. But we haven't seen war like Vietnam. We haven't seen war like the World Wars. And we definitely haven't seen war here. It's always been in a far-off country. But brothers and sisters, this morning you're at war. But we're comfortable. We're at war because we don't understand war. And we're comfortable. Do you realize first you got to go to war with yourself? Why do you think Paul says, beat the brow. I mortify the flesh. I die daily. Why? Because in me dwelleth no good thing. I can prove it to you if you just want to follow me around for the day. Guys, I can genuinely say I hate this. I'll be grateful for whenever this gets glorified. I'm tired of this. We're at war. Not only with ourselves, but we're at war with an enemy. It's not flesh and blood. It's spiritual. It's a war of things that normally we cannot see. But we're so lackadaisical. We're so willing to allow the enemy to cross the lines. There's going to come a time that it catches many unaware. Jesus says, "Will I find faith like this whenever I return?" 2, we're to watch. Mark 13:33 says, "Take ye heed, watch and pray." 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, "Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." I tell you the truth that many are living as though Jesus isn't coming back. But he said in Revelation 22:12, "Behold, I come quickly," and he meant it. I don't know how else to encourage the brethren. I don't know how else to do it other than to use God's word and to warn. I don't know what else to do. But I see it because I see it in my own life. I understand how comfortable things have gotten until you ask him, "Lord, help me to be more holy. Help me to know you better. Help me to serve you better." And then hold on. Because he will break you from everything. He will obliterate your pride. He will. Do you think sanctification is just a walk in the park? You think you're that good? That there aren't some deep, serious sins that he knows. You can hide them all you want from the brothers and sisters. You can hide them all you want from the world. But he knows. You desire holiness, it's going to come with fire. It's going to. He is going to break everything because he loves you. We don't understand it, but he understands us. Some of the people that have had the hardest things happen to them in life, why do you think they're so humble? Watch their lives. Whenever you realize you're not who you think you are, he'll start to reveal it if you ask him. It's time to ask him. Guys, it's no longer time for us to be asleep. Stop it. Stop playing church. Stop it. There are 23 kids at Awana kickoff last night. Those homes they represent? Do you really want to do this ministry? Do you really? Or do we just want to say Rochdale Baptist Church has Awana? Do you really want to be a part of this? Because time is short. I don't I don't know when his return is. He gives us signs. You should be looking up. Time's short. He has your reward in hand. There's your war cry. Ask for a burden. Again, buckle up. Ask for a burden. See what he does. See where he puts you. See where he takes you. I met a missionary one time. He had been a missionary basically everywhere in the world. Like, I don't know if there was many places he hadn't been. And I met him at Olive Garden in Avon. And the guy looked out the window and saw the cars driving by. And he wept. I didn't understand it. I was like, what's going on? He's like, there is such a burden knowing that the majority of those people do not know Jesus, and they've strapped themselves into 6,000 pounds of machinery going 60 mile an hour down the road, trusting that their life isn't in harm. He said, I have a burden. It was the first time I'd really ever seen it like that. So the call is to live untangled. The war cry is fourfold. First, it's to seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33, we're all familiar, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That means that God can't be last on your list. He's not the last thing you check off for the day. He's everything. He's everything. We're seeking him always. It isn't routine. It isn't tradition. It's him. Second is that we're to travel light. Philippians 3:13 and 14, Paul says, I forget those things which are behind, and I press forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Forget those things. Those were yesterday. Now, you may face some consequences for your decisions, but those things were yesterday. Sufficient is the evil for the day. Forget those things. Travel lightly. Third is to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Believer, you have them. You have them. You can grieve them. But the moment you were saved, he lives in you. You can do what you want. Good luck. You can continue to live the way that you've always lived. Good luck. You can go back into sin. Good luck. You're to be filled with the Spirit. But how can we be filled whenever we're not hungry? How can we be filled whenever our desires are on things that distract us? How can we be filled whenever we're too tired to open up his word? How can we be filled whenever we're too distracted to go to him in prayer? How can we be filled whenever we're too weak to witness? And then to stay in prayer. Prayer keeps the heart awake, and the world wants to be lulled to sleep. If you are constantly finding yourself in worldliness, in a desire to have the things of this world, it's going to dull you to sleep. It's going to take away power. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's a testimony of an untangled soldier ready to meet his king, ready to meet his commander. Paul imprisoned, ready for death, saying, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. But let me ask you today, if that trumpet of reveille were to sound, if the trumpet call of God were to sound, would you be ready? It's the question of the day. Sorry, I'm your only preacher for this morning. That's your question for the day. I was talking to Brother Jonathan last night, and I go, I know the way God has made me, and I know the way He's made me to preach. And I understand there is a reason why I don't get to preach often. Because I feel like I'm standing here just beating up the people I love. And I don't mean it that way. And I know He doesn't. But it's an encouragement to the brethren. It's to wake us up. I don't know how else to say it. It's to wake us up. Because His return is imminent. Or would you be ashamed of His coming? 1 John 2:28 says, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Ugh. I want to be pleasing. My desire is to please the Master. My desire is to please my commander. I fail. But truly, my desire is to be pleasing to Him. Don't be ashamed. Guys, this is your wake-up call. If He comes today, would you be ashamed? Answer the question. Answer it in your own heart. Would you be ashamed? The life that you've been conducting, would it be pleasing to Him, or would it be a scourge to Him? Are you a good soldier? Are you a soldier that's gone AWOL? Answer. Not for men, but I think it's a good answer to see where we are. Some of you today need to drop the entanglements. Need to lay down the weights. Some of you need to repent of pleasure or drunkenness or worry that's choking life out of you. And some of you this morning aren't even enlisted yet. Some of you this morning don't even know Jesus. How can you follow a commander you don't even know? You can't. So this morning, if you sit there and you're questioning in your mind, I have no idea what He's even talking about. I don't know how to follow Jesus. I don't know how to follow a commander. Why is this guy standing behind the pulpit saying all of these things and emotional and riled up? And I don't know what he's talking about. This morning you need to be enlisted. This morning there needs to come a time where Jesus, you see Jesus for who He is. Jesus laid down His life. Jesus was perfect, sinless, never committed a single sin and went to a cross. And whenever He shed His blood and whenever He died, it fulfilled the law. God had a law that we could not fulfill, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. These are laws that we cannot fulfill, and you guys see it in your own lives. You see that you can't fulfill these things. But God, through Jesus, made a way that His righteousness, His fulfillment of the law, because He fulfilled it perfectly. Because of His death and His burial and His resurrection, we now have a way that we can come before Jesus and God in righteousness. It's because of Jesus that you can stand before God clean and pure. If there's a question this morning, if you say, "Brother Matt, I don't know if I've ever understood that. I know that I don't know Jesus, but I don't know if I understand entirely what it is Jesus has done for me." Don't go. I'm begging of you not to leave. There are men and women here that know Jesus and know the Word of God, and they can go through the Word of God with you and show you who Jesus is, what your sin is, and what it looks like, and what that penalty for that sin is. So I ask you this morning not to leave. Brothers and sisters, the hour's late, the trumpet's near, and Jesus is coming. It's that simple. It's time to live our life untangled. It's time to live our lives watchful, and it's time to live our lives ready. Ready to fulfill the command of our commander. Ready to lay down the sins that so easily beset us, and ready for us to watch. The time draweth nigh. This morning, if you find yourself here, this morning, if you are entangled in the concerns and cares of this life, this morning, if you find yourself in sin that easily besets you, this morning, if you do not know Jesus, don't leave the service until you get these things right. This is your reveille. This is your war cry. It's time to take up arms. It's time to get back in the fight. It's time to get in the fight, period. If you would stand. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise that it doesn't return unto you void. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for those that strengthen me in battle. Thank you for those that are an encouragement to me. Lord, and I pray that I would be the same to them. This morning, as your word is preached, there's no doubt that it has fallen on hearts that are in many different places this morning. It's fallen on some good soil. It's fallen on soil that the cares and struggles of this life have choked it out. And if we're not careful, that this morning we'll walk out of these doors and it'll be just the same as it is every other Sunday morning. But God, I beg of you that you would do this work in our heart, that you would help us to understand what it is to live holy, what it is to live separated, not just in word, but in action, in the manner of our life, in our conduct. Father, that we would be pleasing to that He who called us to be a soldier. Lord, help us not to forget these things, to go about our life on Monday and realize that work and all the cares and concerns of this life take and distract us. But help us to constantly seek your face, to be willing to lay down the weights and sins that easily beset us, and to run this race. Father, to understand that these things are spiritual, that these aren't flesh and blood, but there's powers and principalities. There's things that we war against that we can't see, so we need to be ready and armed. Help us. Lord, help this place to be a light. The people come here and they can be encouraged. They can lay down the inhibitions. They can lay down the things that weigh them down. And that they're encouraged to get back in the fight. Father, this morning I pray for the lost soul. God, that you would deal with them, that you would destroy their pride. That you would help them to understand that they're separated from a God that is holy and perfect and righteous. Help them to understand that there is a place called hell. There is a place that they're going to spend eternity. I pray your will. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.